Amen. Well, our kids are dismissed to refresh. And I hope you guys have a great time enjoying God's Word and your friendships together. If you want to turn to Psalm 42, I want to talk for just a few minutes. I promise you we'll get out before the Cowboy game. Oh, the Cowboys aren't in the Super Bowl. I forgot. Oh, man. Psalm 42. Want to take this psalm together and talk about three things that are here that we can look at and that we can focus on that become takeaways for us as we look at this psalm. Want to read the first four verses for you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. The first thing I want us to talk about for just a few minutes is, what is our desire? Our desire has got to be embedded in God if we are to find ultimate fulfillment. Now, you can find fulfillment in temporary things. You can find fulfillment in this world. But I'm talking about a fulfillment in our lives that is here now, but for all eternity, it's going to keep getting better and better. God's going to continue showing us Himself, and He's going to make Himself known. It says in Psalm 27, verse 4, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord, seeking Him in His temple. If you know Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that scripture and that desire has already been done. God has promised us not just time, but He has promised us eternity. And we are going to share in the blessing of being in His house, not just for time, but for all eternity. We're going to experience that. So, would this be true of you? Are you thirsty for God in your life? Do you want Him as part of your life, your family's life, your marriage, your kids, your grandkids? Are you thirsty for God? Kind of like Tony had talked about, thirsty for that outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us. Desires determine what we spend our time doing. Think about it for just a moment. We all seem to do the things we like to do. things we want to do. We're going to spend time doing that because it's something that we desire. If we desire God, we're going to want to spend time with Him. Not just a Sunday morning for a few hours, but we're going to find some time during the week to spend time with Him. The second thing is a desire determines how we spend our money. You don't spend your money on things you don't like. I hope you don't. I hope you spend it on things that bring you pleasure, that make you happy. Well, are we desiring to be with God? Are we desiring? You know, Jesus said, don't store your treasures up here on this earth where moss and rust and thieves break in and steal. But what does He say? Store up those treasures in heaven where moth does not eat it, where rust cannot destroy, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. That's a desire, something that we want to experience, something that we want to do. The third thing that's true of desires is they determine what we think about. They determine what we think about. Now, if you're the kind of person that's always thinking about something else and never thinking about God, the psalmist said he thinks about God. He thinks about the opportunity that God has given him. And as people shared today, you think about how God has been at work in your life. Henry Blackaby, in his study, he talked about these were those signs along the pathway where God showed Himself faithful to you. These are the things that demonstrate that. And it's good for us to take a moment and look back at those things. See how God has worked and how God has moved. Because in that, it not only helps us remember, but it what? It strengthens the desire in our heart to trust God, to believe Him, to let Him work in some way in our life. It increases our desire. Just as we talked about, our desires must be embedded in God. He asks you, are your desires embedded in God? Are they focused upon who He is and what He's done? Do you desire more of God in your life? Or have you gotten all you want? As the psalmist mentioned, are we thirsty for God? He had that as part of his regular routine. He experienced that hunger, that desire for God to work. Notice one of the things he says here in Psalm 22. He said, these things I remember and pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and with thanksgiving, a multitude keeping that festival. Now, I can't tell you that this is exactly what he means, but I can tell you what happens to people. When God has disappointed you, what do you tend to do? Cling more to Him? Or say, man, this is not for me. I don't want to do this anymore. I've prayed, I've asked God to do things, and He hasn't done it. That's a desire that's not pleasing to God. When you and I want to push Him away or don't want to have anything to do with Him, that can be part of our pain in life. How many times? I've seen it many times because I'm in ministry, but I'm sure you guys have seen it. There have been times in a person's life where they're on fire for God. They're so excited about what He is going to do and what He has already done. Talk to them a few months later and they're not as excited. The flame has started to dwindle. The writer of the psalm says, our desire must be embedded in God. Second thing he talks about here is looking at our life. Verse 5, he asks these questions. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you come disturbed? Why have you become disturbed within me? I want to talk about that for just a moment before I go to the rest of the verse. You and I, despair is to be a temporal thing. If you remember when Paul was talking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 5 through 11, he talks about how they were made sorrowful. But he says, as part of that, that sorrow was a temporary thing to bring a person to repentance. You may be sitting out there and thinking to yourself, hey, I got so many sorrows. I got so much despair. I've got so much discouragement. I've got so much disappointment in my life. God does not want that to be for eternity. God Himself has chosen to make that temporary in our life. It can serve a positive purpose, and it can just be chunk that fills our head. It can lead us closer to God, or it can what? Push us away. Push us away from Him and what He's doing. That's the thing about despair. Despair can drive us to God or away from Him. Paul, in that passage he talks about as he wrote to the Corinthian believers, he said, your despair, your discouragement, your sorrow, your sense of repentance was not for you to spend the rest of your life talking about those things, but it's for a period of time so that you can move on in your relationship with God and see the great things He wants to accomplish. C.S. Lewis said, faith is the art of holding on to things in spite of your changing mood and circumstances. Despair can not only drive us to God or away from Him, despair can determine how we relate to God. Despair can determine how we relate to others. When you and I are in despair, we're not as eager to serve. We're not as eager to please. We're not as excited about the opportunity to bless somebody. We're focused on ourselves. We're focused on where we are. And that is, in essence, what the psalmist is doing in the last part of verse 5. He's saying, don't stay in that place of despair and discouragement and depression forever. Focus your attention, as he says, hope in God. That's an imperative in this language, which means it's a command. The psalmist was writing to himself and saying, I command you to turn your hope to God, to turn your focus on Him, to let Him become your desire and ultimately your delight. Don't allow this to continue to work. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. A declaration for the help of His presence. You guys have heard today in the testimonies that were shared how God Himself came to them, the person who was sharing, at a point of need. They had asked God to help them, and God was faithful to do that. Maybe that's true of you today. Maybe you're at a place where you feel like, man, in the past, I've asked God for something, never got it, so I'm in this place of despair, of discouragement. Will you put your hope in God again? Will you put your hope that He is going to trust you? I mean, that He is worthy of our trust that we give to Him. Where do you go when your soul is in despair? Do you go to friends? Do you go to drug or alcohol? Do you go to something that makes you feel better about life? Or do you go to God? How do you handle the tough times when you don't feel God cares for you? When you question His timing for something, where do you go? Do you go back to Him? That's what the writer of the psalmist is saying. I have experienced despair in my life, but I need to tell myself, turn your attention back to God. Don't continue trying to solve it on your own, by your own strength. When you feel God owes you something, do you trust Him for that? Do you believe Him for that? Or do you say, God has not come through, so I'm going to do something else? You and I, as the writer of the Psalms has said, not only must our desires be embedded in God, and our despair is a temporal thing, but thirdly, our delight must be anchored to God. Listen to these sections of Psalms. Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Psalm 43, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, my God. Your instruction is deep within me. I delight. Our delight must be anchored in God. Out of Psalm 119. If your instruction has been my delight, I would have died in my affliction. If your instruction had not been my delight, I would have died in my affliction. Psalm 119, verse 143 says, trouble and distress has overtaken me, but your commands are my delight. If we don't worship, we won't experience God. That's what David Jeremiah said. If we do not worship, we're not going to have the experience of God in our life. Delight, as the psalmist wrote, we have to put our delight in the anchor, the stability, the confidence, the faithfulness of God. Delight is what impacts our joy, not our circumstances. A lot of times people think, hey, when my circumstances are good, I'm filled with joy. And that can happen to us over time. But our joy comes from anchoring our hope in God. When we delight in Him, He gives us, as it says in Psalms, He gives us the desire of our heart. God Himself impacts our life in a positive way when we express joy. Delight impacts our quality of worship. Delight impacts our quality of worship. You just think about it in your own life. When you are focused on God and when you love Him and when you delight in Him, your worship is going to be different. The third thing is delight impacts our destiny. This is something that's not just for a time, but it's for eternity. If we can learn how to find our delight in God, no matter what gets thrown at us, we are going to overcome that. We are going to be strong because God Himself is strong. Are you anchored to God? I mean, when circumstances come your way, when the winds begin to blow, when the rain comes down, are you anchored to God? You know, Jesus talked about building our house on the sand or building our house on the rock. Which one is your house, your soul, your life, your family? Which one is it built on? Sinking sand or a firm rock? Have you made the choice to anchor your hope in God no matter what? Have you allowed the waves in your life to loosen your anchor? Or have you placed it on the rock that never moves? The writer of Psalm 42 asks this question twice. He says, first of all, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall see Him again. And then look at verse 11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Is God your rock? Is God the one you depend upon? Is God the one you rely on? The only way we're going to experience God working in our life with great power and with great authority is to be thirsty for Him. to allow our desires and our delights to be anchored by who God is and what God has done, to recall the great things that He has accomplished in the past in our life, family members' life, or here as you've heard these folks today share from their life, our church family. So, isn't it time that we begin to thirst for God? If that's not true already, I invite you today to thirst for God. The only way we can experience living water is through the person of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you don't know Him, if you're here today and you don't thirst for Him, will you give Him that opportunity? He gave us Jesus to allow all of our thirsts to be met. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? Do you want to have the kind of water that will always be available to you? That's the kind of work God does. God works in our life to give us living water. Will you let Him do that today? Let's pray together.